Lime, duh.
Yeah. Let's do it again, baby. Hello. Whoa.
Burn it down.
I have been here for 12 years.
Yeah, welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling podcast, the podcast where comedians dissect the wrestling to an unhealthy degree. I am your host.
Shut your
Okay, that's rude. Your host with the most viral stand-up about professional wrestling, Dan Black. Okay, all right, relax. A.K.A. Donsky Blackamora, A.K.A. Donnie Dirt Sheets. A.K.A. the Creatine Dream. A.K.A. Papa Oat Milk, Donnie Beverage. Oh, man, coming at you with some hot new nicknames today because we got a special new announcement. So I figured why not bring out some new spicy nicknames. Ooh, let me take a sip of the old oat milk. Oh, delicious Papa Oat Milk coming at you. Yeah, what up? Like Cleopatra, baby, gabba-gabba-wee.
Gabba-gabba-wee.
Yeah.
Holy motherfucking shit.
This girl, she is a man. And
oh, a little bit of the bubbly.
Damn. Fine. What up, jabroniacs? We are back in action for your satisfaction with all of our spicy, muy caliente wrestling reactions. Whoa. Hey, all right, everybody. This is the... This is a big week in pro wrestling. Before we get into it, I mean, every week's a big week in pro wrestling. If you care, baby, you know what I mean. If you dream it, you could see. Hey, it's up to you. You see, this as just, I don't know, a throwaway week before the draft happens. Okay, that's up to you. Or me, you say, it's time for wrestlers to grab the breast wing every single minute of TV time. Everybody, coming at you.
Monday Night Raw is presented by Southern New Hampshire University.
Never forget our sponsor. but before we get into this podcast and we get to break down all the wrestling that was this week, remember, you can support this podcast. We are grassroots on patreon.com/comediansofwrestling. All your donations or contributions really help this podcast grow. We appreciate it. If you're listening every week, please consider giving us a couple bucks. That would be awesome. But we're never asking for handouts because we got tons of bonus content over the Patreon. You can hear my past NXT TakeOver 31 bonus episode this week where I talked about immediately after watching NXT TakeOver, gave all my thoughts about the show and the new, I don't know what that put, Capital Wrestling Center, and talking about Finn Balor and Kyle O'Reilly going to war, the return of Ember Moon, a lot on that. And maybe we'll talk about some of that here today. You can hear that, but you can also hear our AEW NXT-centric episodes every single Friday with Nick Tulo, the Supermark, who may or may not be on this episode today.
good for you.
Also, I got a big announcement here. We do the Cal Movie Club here on the podcast every Monday night / Tuesday, unless it's a pay-per-view week, and then it comes out later in the week. Very complicated. Next week, we'll have one more Cal Movie Club episode, but we are going to be making a big, exciting shift here on the podcast. A big announcement. I've been thinking about this for a while, contemplating, and I think you're going to like this change, okay? So I'm going to be introducing a once-a-month interactive experience for Patreon members, okay? And we'll be introducing what we are calling the Cal Zoom Thunderdome. Wow. You heard it here, everybody. So basically what that means, and Erin's here. I didn't introduce her properly yet, but she's here. What up? The First Lady, Erin Finnerty. But she can give a little more details on how we're going to do this. But this is going to start this month, okay? So if you are at the $10 Patreon level, formerly known as the Cow Movie Club, now the Cow Zoom Thunderdome level. Okay, all right. Damn it. That happens every time.
Did you hear that?
Yeah. It's outside.
Is it only
actually
when you say Thunderdome?
Dude, no. Come on.
It's weird that you can say that in Long Island and it's happening where I am. It's crazy.
It's basically, it's a weather event. It's a seismic event. You know what I mean? It's a big thing. I mean, everything that happens at Cal matters a lot. But anyway, Cal Zoom Thunderdome. Every month we're going to have a Zoom call as a group, which will be during a pay-per-view, but it'll change every month. Every single month we'll announce what the event will be. So what we're going to watch or what the event's going to be, that's going to change based on what's going on. As wrestling, is this a live, fluid product that's always changing. So we'll change with it. But this month, October 25th, why not start with Hell in a Cell? Okay, so Sunday, October 25th, we'll be sending out for the Cal patrons at the $10 level the Zoom link where you could call in and we'll have an organized, great, interactive viewing experience for you guys. We already have some really fun details that I'll share as we get closer that Erin and I'm excited. I just want to say them now, but I'm just going to hold off because we're just introducing this right now. But a way for you guys to interact with us is almost like a way to, especially in these weird times, a way to watch wrestling together as a group. And that's I wanted to reward the higher patrons with a more of an experience. So,
and for all of them who suffered through all the Cow Movie Club viewing experiences, like Inside Out,
some of the terrible movies. Yeah. That Edge movie was the last straw for me. I couldn't stand it.
We'll bust out the last Cow Movie Club episode, and it may return someday. But we're going to do these. What flavor is that?
Lime, duh.
Well, yeah. Wow.
We're going to bust out. We're going to try something new. So.
Yeah. So the Cow Zoom Thunderdome will be starting October 25th. For all you got to do is be at patreon.com/comediansofwrestling, sign up at the $10 level, and then through Patreon I'll send that Zoom link with the private password, you'll join and we'll have it's going to be a great time. Obviously we're gonna have to work out the kinks of what it is, but this is a great way to interact
with
the community
to
the next
get
level.
The kink master to join us to help with those kinks.
Well, I think that it will have a lot of special. I think it's a great opportunity for special guests and drop-ins, and obviously Jason Shapiro, the kink master, and
him,
the street whisperer, probably will get. And by the way, just if you're new to this podcast, my best friend Jason Shapiro, since childhood, he's been back on wrestling dealing with his life, and he literally was back all summer. He watched every single Raw and SmackDown and is now caught up. He wouldn't let episode of Raw or SmackDown go. And he's now caught up.
Wouldn't let it go.
But anyway, if you go on our Patreon, you get access to that. You'll still have our bonus episodes, AEW NXT-centric episodes on Friday, and we'll have the Cow Zoom Thunderdome. That'll take place. We'll still be one Cow Movie Club episode this week. Erin, what's that movie we're going to be watching this week?
Our last Cow Movie Club for the season is Recoil, starring Stone Cold Steve Austin, now available on Prime and Tubi.
Right. Sammy Guevara. Okay, great. So you can check that out later on this week. Awesome. One last announcement. The cash-ins. Actually, this is not an announcement. Cash-ins are back. Leave us a voicemail at 316. Ooh, will this play? Oh, my God. 316. Yeah, 530-242-9-316. 530-242-9. Blow my mind. You can leave us a voicemail about your wrestling questions, thoughts, concerns, and we'll bring them in on the show. You can cash in. All right, last thing I want to say before we get into all the Spice Wrestling. We have the RKO Patreon episode, the tribute to Randall Keith Orton. Jason and I, Shabiro and I, are breaking down RKOs. Shebs has a beautifully scientific ranking system that he spent many months in the Amazon jungle perfecting with scientists, top physicists, and you know, just basically RKOing people and banana trees to kind of get that toughness. So you can check that out. One other thing is that, so if we get 5 more patrons, we will release the RKO Part 2 episode, right? We'll rank more RKOs. I have 60 more RKOs to be ranked.
Okay.
But here's another thing, that a word I just got from Jason Shapiro, okay? He said, please, what he goes, remind everybody this on the pod today.
Yeah.
He said, if we get one more patron, one more patron, okay? One more. He says he will release the Adam Pearce bonus episode. I don't know what this entails, but he says, I want one patron and then we'll get the Adam Pearce.
I mean, it's almost a twofer because, like, you guys, how do you say no to an Adam Pearce whole bonus episode?
Shep says he has so much knowledge about Adam Pearce that he wants a bonus episode. So let's not talk about him. Let's save that for if we get one patron over to patreon.com/comedianswrestling. And also, if you're a politics junkie, you like politics, check out my podcast, Dan Black Attack Podcast, where we're talking the regular guy news. We're covering all things topical right now. And Aaron does some great work over there as well. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Let's talk about pro wrestling because, man, there's a lot to say. And I think that before I even say any words, I think that I got to play this sound drop because, fuck.
Roman Reigns is always here.
I got to kick it off talking about Roman Reigns. And all I got to say is probably his best work maybe ever. I don't say that lightly. Ever on SmackDown this week. I mean, he was talking about somebody coming into their own, somebody fucking firing on all cylinders, finding it, clicking. This was his best promo, like, by far, which is not saying much. He's been awful on promo, but the length of his promo was really long. And another thing about this promo he cut, and we'll get into the details of it, is that Paul Heyman kicks it off with the mic, and pretty shortly into it, Roman takes the mic. He was not relying on Paul Heyman. He almost doesn't need Paul Heyman in the way this is booked, you know? And to be honest, I think Paul Heyman's a little bit of a distraction for what's going on here. He's not part of the Samoan family. I guess he's kind of like the Tom Hagen, right? He's a little bit of the, like, consigliere.
Yeah.
Right? He's like the Robert Duvall character. Like, he's not part of the family. He's part of the family, but he's not Italian. He's not Samoan. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But so it does work in that way, but almost like I'm not even sure if he needed it, which is saying so much for Roman Reigns. I just want to say this. He grabbed the mic, and I'm like, okay, whatever. And I'm like, okay, they're just going to give him like 2 sentences to say he'll look tough. No. He called out Jey Uso, and they had like a full-on dramatic scene.
Yeah.
And it was fucking great. And Roman's acting was great. And the moment was incredible. You guys know when I like something, what I do is just tell you what happened. And that's what my notes are. My notes here are just like moments I liked from it. Congratulations to Roman Reigns for finding it. 5 WrestleManias later, it's fine. I'll always say that.
Finally clicking in. It's finally happening.
But yeah, guys, I'll throw it over to you guys. What are your thoughts on that? Do you agree with me? Do you disagree?
I thought it was great. I liked it, and I think that there's a benefit for Roman that he's, like, working off of his cousin, Jey Uso, and it was the same for, like, the quality of the match at Clash of Champions. I think that he has an ease when he's around his family like that, so I think to hit the ground running this way is great.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like what he's doing right now, you know, especially because we really thought it out last week here on the podcast, he'll run through Jay, but this will carry him. This gimmick will carry him into other feuds. He doesn't need to be wrestling just Samoans. What he needs to do is first get the family order and straight. But that can always go awry as he loses a match or as things don't go his way. He can always be set off because he has such a clear, we call it in comedy, like a game, you know? Right. Like, what's your game? Like, that's like the improv, the UCB improv term for, like, what's his game? Like, Roman Reigns' character is so clear now.
Right.
Similar to how, like, The Fiend is very clear what he is now, right? So you're like, Roman's almost in a place where he can lose and still be cool. You know,
he's not going to lose, but well, we all know that confidence has been an issue for Roman Reigns, his body and maybe his performing skills. And I think that he is showing more confidence in more ways than one now. And I think that, like I said, the fact that he's kicking this all off, working with his cousin where he feels comfortable, he's able to really like shine in that. In the ring like that. So I think hopefully this carries as he gets into feuds with other people and whatever.
You know, I think for a long time, we always thought we knew who Roman Reigns was as this guy from the Shield. He's always here. And as that.
He's always here.
Of course.
And now for the podcast with that sound drop.
Yeah.
A completely unmemorable moment.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think finally, we're finally learning who he really is and what, I mean, it's like something you can like relate to and connect to Roman finally. I don't think we ever
someone
had that.
Someone you idolize.
Exactly. That will always get our in every single
one
time.
One of my fans. It gets stuck in my head.
Yeah. Someone you idolize.
Someone you idolize takes you under their wing from day one because they see something special in you. They help you to become something more.
I remember like recently Paul Heyman, when he was with Brock, did a promo like against on the opposite side of Roman that was like really awesome. I think he even spoke to him in some kind of in like Samoan language and stuff. And he talked the whole history line. And now to see it kind of on the opposite side of it, it's really cool. There was that awesome transition from when Roman was like looking out to Jay, and there was actually a new like design that was up on the screens. I don't know if you saw it. It was like floral and like really cool looking tribal and everything. Yeah. And then it transitioned into Jay's stuff. So it's like you're seeing like these two sides of this story. I'm all for it.
Yeah,
for sure.
Look, the term tribal.
What's the stipulation?
Chief,
yeah.
The term tribal chief, just saying it is, it feels ridiculous, right?
I mean, but it's working.
Right. It feels insane to just be like, just call me the tribal chief. But you're right. It's working. Like, it fucking works because it's authentic. Like, wrestling works when it's work shoot. Mm-hmm. And really, what's the truth of the situation is like, yes, we know that like Roman and his cousins love each other. And then when they get backstage, they hug each other out. But that's in the story here, too. It's still believable that, like, if Roman Reigns is put in a match with you and you're his cousin, he's going to still want to show you he deserves everything he's got. Like, right? And so that is a believable element of it. So you're like, oh, wow, like, this is perfect wrestling, to be honest. Like, when it blends real and fake. Like, you're like, so, I get it. Yeah. I totally get where he's coming from. Is he being way too Tony Soprano about it? Yes. but
he has to be.
It is this thing where it is he is actually the Samoan of that generation who is chosen to be the next Rock. Like that is what it is. And so what he's doing is getting these guys in line, being like, we all need to rally behind me. It really works. It really, really works. Let's get into some of the specifics of the stuff said. By the way, Tula, to your point, this is a moment I had with my wife. I always love telling these moments about like whenever I use wrestling to create a point for my wife. When I was like, she had to have like a conversation, like a kind of a creative conversation with somebody, you know? And I was like, there's no reason for that to be, that conversation to be like, offensive to anyone. Like, you just gotta do, they gotta like Paul Heyman in or whatever, you know. I was explaining to her how Paul Heyman gets over the opponent of Brock Lesnar while still taking them down, right? And I was like, he'll literally be like, you're the best. Frankly, I would like to work with you. I think you're better than literally everyone else. Like, you are talented. You are a megastar. You belong here. You belong in the main event. You are main event. I've seen you decimate everyone. You're just not as good as this guy. And I was like, well, it builds him up. It makes him feel like he belongs. You should be there. But also, you're also giving that criticism. I was like, wow, that's like, and then she was like it's so funny because we take all this wrestling shit for granted, but the skeleton of wrestling is so interesting, especially when it comes to politics. You know, interesting thing, not to get into politics, but on my podcast this week, on the Dan Black Attack podcast, I spoke to an undecided voter who's a wrestling mark, a guy who's my Facebook friend from my stand-up joke that went viral, right? And he said he's undecided, so I'm just talking to people. Like, I can't really understand how anyone's undecided right now, you know what I mean? So I'm like, explain that to me. And it was so funny because he was just like, yeah, Trump, he's like Paul Heyman. And that was like a positive to him, you know? And like, you know, with all due respect to the guy, like, he's just being honest with me. He's like, yeah, but he's like Paul Heyman, you know? He's like wheeling and dealing. And I'm like, yeah, like, if you're comparing someone to a wrestler, that's not good news. You know what I mean?
No.
So it is so interesting how wrestlers, it's like we're having like a kind of a delicate conversation about politics, and like the way to connect is through wrestling. That,
of course,
regardless of our stances or whatever, I think is like amazing. You know what I mean? Like,
common ground.
Yeah, I love that. But anyway, let's get into some of the stuff that happened during this promo. Roman did exactly what we were talking about last week, where he was just like, not at all. He's like, Jay, I love you. Beating you up was the worst day of my life.
I love that. I love that. Mm-hmm.
That is like when you start being like such a bad, bad guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
right.
Oh, man. You see yourself as the victim of when you beat the shit out of somebody. You know what I mean? And he's like, yo, but this is the deal. This is my birthright. Man, Roman Reigns, another thing, he's firing on all cylinders. Like, he was, you could tell he's like backstage trying to nail this because he didn't come back to like a mantra line. He didn't like come back to just repeating tribal chief over and over again. He had like, he's like, this is my birthright. He's like,
he made it make sense.
It's best for the family, right? Yeah, I wrote all this stuff down. And he was saying, yo, you disrespected me when you didn't call me the tribal chief, and that broke my heart. Now, that's an homage, obviously, to the Godfather there.
Right.
And then also the respecting is what we were talking about with, I said that Sopranos moment where it's like, you don't have to like me, but you will respect me. It's like, oh, I know we love each other, but like, it's not enough. I need you to say and respect me. Like, that is fucking really good. And then I think the best moment of this promo by Roman Reigns was how he gave him the match. That moment was,
oh, yeah.
Wrestling always like, suffers fine. From this corny ass shit of like, you and me at the Hell in a Cell.
Mm-hmm.
Take
you
it
want the match?
Or not. You want, that was so fucking good. Yeah, Tulo, that you just did it perfectly.
He's like, you want the match?
You want the match?
Fine.
It's like
fine.
Mark Wahlberg.
You got the match.
You want the match?
Tell your mother I said hello.
Tell your mother. Yeah, say hello to your mother for me. What? What the match? Wahlberg. Fine. Have it. Take it. Whatever.
No problem. Yeah, the hug was my favorite part.
That he's like, is that title? He's like, is the title that important? You want another shot? You want a Hell in the Cell? Take it. Like, that was the most low key way to give somebody a Hell in the Cell match.
Yeah.
Yeah. When he first said it, I was like, is this really happening right now? This is how they're doing it. And then I was like, oh, this is really cool.
Just a little bit off topic, but still on it. Is every match gonna be
listen,
in the
topic,
cell?
Too low. Don't veer off topic, okay?
I'm
dare
this,
you.
This podcast is a tight ship, bro. We never go on tangents.
Is every match gonna be in Hell in? Is every match actually gonna be in a cell this time?
Because that's the same feeling like exact question, which was like they,
it
every
like
year they
gonna.
Do this, you never know what, if which match.
I know
is
we
in
got both,
cell or
both
not.
Championship matches are definitely gonna be.
Right.
What else? The women's match, I think Bailey and Sasha is going to be in a cell. Feels like it has to be.
Right.
I hope we get. Man, I don't know if Sammy's going to have a match in Hell in a Cell, but
Sasha's
I think
great
I
in a cell.
Probably not.
I don't know.
They have to go Sammy, Jeff Hardy in a cell.
It has to go up and down because it's part of the whole
Maybe we get retribution versus hurt business in a cell.
I don't think that every match will be in a cell because I think it also it'll get tired.
Be in Raw Underground.
I mean, I'm completely fine with just those three matches. The two. Oh, uh-oh. What did the dirt sheet say?
No, it's the cell. That's the cell.
Oh, yeah. It's,
that's what the dirt sheet sound is. That's what that sound is. It's the sound drops label cage music.
I can't believe I never put that together.
Anyway, yeah, I don't know what's going to be in a cell. Probably those three matches will be in the cell, and that'll be it, is my guess. But yeah, he's like, oh, you want in a cell? It's fine. Like, take it. You want it? Cool. You got it. That was so fucking cool. I mean, Roman Reigns looks cool. If you just saw him, he looks cool, but he's never been cool.
What do you think the stipulation will be?
He looked fucking cooler, and he was not. He was comfortable in it. Like, he wasn't really smiling through it, and like, it was good. Really,
I hope it's like a. I hope it's like a strap match or something. You know, like or like a. I mean, they're doing a dog collar match this week on AEW, but yeah.
Dan, what shirt are you wearing today, by the way?
Aaron, so you can see if you're watching on Zoom, which, by the way, I post all the videos on our YouTube channel. I think it's on Dan Black Attack / Canadian Wrestling, but you can find it on YouTube. It's on my channel. But
Dan's
I'm wearing
got it,
the
spicy
limited edition 24 hours only the Death of Cody t-shirt. That Tulo shaking his head, he hates it. It's Cody's tattoo, but it's dripping like the Death of Superman logo. And it's got a little AEW logo on it. It's really nice.
No, it's actually pretty decent.
Is it soft style?
It's soft style. Obviously, one of the big things AEW is that Pro Wrestling Tees does their merch. So their merch is, I don't know how WWE lets their shirts be shittier quality than AEW, but they do. I don't know. The print on it is nice and big.
Would you get that tattooed on your neck?
I think this one's cooler than the American flag.
I like the drip on the.
Imagine if you got it on the other side, and then they like kind of like connected in the end. The fuck it.
That Cody tattoo
Brandy
is starting to look
okay with it.
Worse as it's fading a little bit. It's starting to look worse because the thing is, color tattoos are really difficult too.
It looks
you have
good.
A lot of color in your tats?
Yeah, I got a ton.
Let me see. What is that?
I do too.
This is the oyster. And then this is the Native American head.
All right. Just
tribal chief.
Put your shirt off. I can't even talk to you right now.
All right. My whole right arm is colored.
You got the tribal chief on your pec.
Montauk Lighthouse.
That I love.
I got the tribal chief.
I love that. Right. I love your, but my favorite thing about you, Tulo, is how Long Island you are. I love that.
Yo, check out my tats. I got the oyster. I got the Native American lady.
Is the Native American lady a Long Island thing?
No. We used to have a house in Scottsdale. I used to like go out there, my family and I, and my mom used to paint like a ton of things and stuff like that. And one of them was like this old Native American woman's head and stuff, and it was sick. And I was like, can I have it redone? But I want it to look a little more.
Oh, so it's your mom's beautiful. Art?
It's kind of. It's like a homage to that time in my life. Yeah.
Cool. So
talking tattoos.
No, but I do you have any Islanders tats?
No Islanders tats. I do
you
have
gotta get,
this.
Bro, you gotta get the sailor. You gotta get the sailor man. That would be a killer tat.
Let's
I can't see it.
Hold on.
You can see this on the Zoom video, by the way. Oh, you got a too sweet. You got a too sweet logo.
That's lit.
When are you gonna
change? In prison.
Can we get? Right, you guys got to know about this. Let's talk about this on the pod while we're here. Tulo got a tattoo around the corner from my house. He was actually waiting for me at home, I think.
Yeah.
And got a tattoo. And the tattoo he got when he was in LA, he drove cross country to LA in a box truck. Okay.
Yeah.
And Tulo got a Chris D'Elia life rips tattoo on his forearm. It's probably his most visible tattoo, to be honest.
Yeah.
Currently.
Yeah. And as you know, Chris D'Elia has been canceled.
Very done.
Unfortunately for him, he doesn't wrestle in NXT, or else he would still be wrestling.
He'd be on every
pay-per-view Dream style. Did you guys like I'm the fucking creatine dream?
Yeah, I love that.
So you have that tattoo, and it's there. And I feel like, are you still listening?
It'll get covered.
Are you still a Chris D'Elia fan?
No. Yeah, he stopped existing pretty much. I mean, he just disappeared off the face
for
of
good reason.
Okay, so my question to you is,
I'll get it covered one day.
Can we turn it into a cow tattoo? I mean, it's a podcast. It's another podcast. Mm. This podcast is putting you on the podcast.
Dan, it's only a matter of time until some shit goes down.
Oh, that's true.
And then you can't listen to cow anymore. Yeah.
That is true.
Maybe get an Islanders tattoo instead.
I can. Yeah, I can cover it up easily. No problem.
You're gonna get a all right. Maybe what when how, maybe get
maybe I'll get a
turn into the cow Money in the Bank briefcase. What about that?
Yeah, that's a great idea. Maybe I'll turn it into a tribal chief tattoo.
The tribal.
Oh, it would match the lady.
It's a little bit of cultural appropriation.
Maybe we'll do a poll.
Maybe you get Shawn Michaels super kicking the life rips tat.
Yes,
it's like you turned on it. You know what I mean? You keel turn.
Yeah. Throw it through a barbershop window, maybe?
Yeah, get a Jannetty tattoo.
Yeah, no, don't get Jannetty. You'll regret that.
Why?
My dog. You guys know how much my dog loves Jannetty, right?
Oh, my God.
Can't get enough of him.
The Jannetty tour. All right, let's get back into it. But anyway. Then the last thing I'll say about this Roman, and it was that good, so it does deserve all this time, is when he was talking into the mic with the hug.
Yeah, the hug.
That was money. That made me go like, "Oh, that was sick." Roman Reigns and Randy Orton, two guys operating on a very high level right now.
Yeah,
Randy Orton was king of 2020, and then in Q4, Roman Reigns is kind of
he had a big Q4. High profits in Q4. If we're gonna talk about this succession style, all right. Anyway, cool. So let's get into the next big piece of news, which I believe would be Mustafa Ali, who is now being called no longer Ali, now Mustafa Ali again, right? Which I guess is probably going to be one of his beefs when he gets the mic. Probably like, "Yo, you tried to shorten my name. I don't like that, Vince. Why did you try to shorten my name?"
Yeah,
was he basically going to be like, "You tried to erase like my like
heritage"?
Actually, I don't know where he's from, so I don't know. But okay, folks. But he's the leader of Retribution. Here's my question, you guys. How do you feel about this? Is this cool?
I didn't see it. I didn't watch Raw this week yet. But
spoiler!
I saw it on his Instagram, so it was already or on Twitter, so it was already spoiled. And I was like, okay, that's cool. That makes sense. At least they have a leader, which kind of brings them back up a bit. And so
well, the moment, there's nothing really to see. It's just that, like, you know, he was in the ring with the Hurt Business, then Retribution showed up. You know how they do. They flickered the lights twice or whatever. Right, they do like the Broadway show's about to start, like find your seats. They tell you to find your
intermission's over. Let's go.
I think they messed up by not closing the show with it. I think putting it before that main event was kind of awkward for the whole thing. I think it is more impactful if it closes the show. I don't know why, but it to go from that and then just into six-man tag to end the show. Is just
I agree.
Like,
I was surprised it didn't close the show.
Have Mustafa close the show, snap his fingers, lights off.
And after that, I'm going straight to hell. Enjoy the show.
I'm pumped about it. I am. I actually think this is cool. I'm excited for Ali.
Cooler.
It's making it make sense. He's making some posts about like all moments and those guys like, how Dijakovic had to fucking do the job for Keith Lee, and then Keith got the push, and then, you know, fucking Shane Thorne got thrown to the side by MVP, and like he's making it, it's all starting to make sense, which helps Retribution a lot because we all knew they were NXT guys, but if they can pull in their backstories into this now and make us understand why they're doing what they're doing, I'm for it. Plus, I mean, it's Mustafa Ali. He's one of my guys.
I'm
so happy for him to have this.
Is he the hacker? Is that known?
I hope they tie that in. I would think that's what – I mean, if you kind of think of what the hacker was doing, kind of like
– right.
I mean, well, I don't still
the
don't
hacker
even know
thing
what
feels like – I don't know. Is the hacker thing tied in? I really don't know. But, yeah, like the hacker thing feels like they dropped it. I got to be honest. I don't think this was the plan at all. Like this is, I think they're fucking shooting from the hip here. I think that they
because everyone knew
doesn't mean I don't like it.
So lame. Like as soon as we saw who it was, and like their names are so stupid. Like,
yeah, I would bet any money
they can.
They were changing this every week, like, and then they're like, "Oh, let's give it to Ali." It was maybe going to be Ricochet last week, and then you know what I mean, like,
right?
But Ali doesn't feel like kind of a good fit for it. I guess it's like, it's. I guess we'll see where it goes with it, but I just gotta say, Retribution. They do suck. I mean, there's really no way around it. They're stupid. Those masks look awful. They look awful. Because what they did is they tried to make them like really hi-fi, like Matt. They tried to make them like.
I hope it's like they take their masks off. Yeah, I think they got ditched the masks.
It's like they're in between being like. Costume masks, like a cane or something,
right?
And like just they just rock like Halloween masks, like how
they went to Spirit Halloween.
You know what's funny is what you asked for from Dark Order was that they ditch all the masks that they're wearing and go to more like Slipknot style masks.
Yeah,
and now all these guys have like Slipknot style masks and like wear a different mask on. You're like, those masks suck. Get those masks off.
Well,
because they do suck.
Slipknot style.
I don't know. No, did I say Slipknot for Dark Order?
Maybe. I don't know. I'm just saying it's just funny because their masks do suck though. But I don't think those are. I think that's a temporary thing. I think because Mustafa Ali used to wear a mask. He's not wearing that thing anymore. So. Right. Maybe it's about masks and not wanting to wear masks.
Well, here's my question. My question to you guys, does this make sense? That's what I wrote. Like, you see it in my notes here. Does this make any sense? Like, do we have enough from Ali here to make this? Like, does this make sense? These guys would – Ali's mad about his booking, essentially, right?
Yeah, and maybe he's the main roster person. So, like, he's their leader by default because they were all NXT people that he like brought into the fold.
Right. I guess these are the guys who were like gonna get jabroned. I don't know. But the thing with this is the fact that they did get jabroned. Yeah. But the fact that they have like these, like they're trying to go for like a Warriors style, like thing, like that they have are all like anonymous.
That
like,
would be cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't they kind of like, it's like that's T-Bar and Rocksteady or whatever the fuck their names are. Like, like what? Why would they be like post-apocalyptic? Like, wouldn't it make more sense for them to just be like themselves? Like,
themselves,
I'm fucking
yeah.
Dominik Dijakovic, and like I got fucked over. Like, they, like you said, Tulo, they got to take these masks off.
Yeah, take the masks off.
Like maybe next
take
week.
The mask.
I actually saw one of them. Shane Thorne was like adjusting it, and I was like, "Is he gonna take it off?" Like, that's what they should have done. But now they already had like Dijakovic shave his head, and like, you know what I mean? I don't know.
Right.
Commit to the Bane character, you know, and then it just
yeah, but they look like shitty Bane masks. Ali looks great. The one thing I'll say is they suck. But Retribution.
Man, what's
sucks,
that man's hair smell
Ali
like?
Is I mean, awesome.
It's got to smell like what? Like lavender and hibiscus flowers?
Here? Yeah.
Wow.
A beautiful boy.
Ali, I'm really excited for it. I think he has a lot of potential. I actually think his gear is cool. He has cool gear, but it does not fit this character. So I hope he switches the gear up.
Yeah.
And like, what's his retribution look going to be? Like, he needs something that's less.
Oh, and he's like an original mask wearer because he wore the
the glow
mask.
That's
what I said. He took the mask off.
Yeah.
I hope Ali nails being a heel. Like, I hope he has his like Roman click moment because I do think he's like, it's first off, he just feels like I would love a smaller dude to be like. I would love some cruiserweight to be able to infiltrate heavyweight, you know, and if he has all these guys behind him, it could be cool. Like, you know, Adam Cole, I thought that's what they would do with him when he came up, but now it seems like they're pivoting a whole different way with Undisputed Era, and probably they're keeping them down in NXT, you know, which I like that. I think it's fine. Like, NXT needs a star, so it's cool. But I just hope they can find a way to make somebody like the fucking little guy who has big matches, you know? And, like, he can fly, too. So it's, like, it's believable if he can cheat a little bit. That
he had that run. He had that really amazing run. And then he got hurt. And then that's when Kofi filled in. And then he almost won Money in the Bank. I mean, he literally had his fingers on the fucking case. And Brock came down and ruined it. So it's, like, you know.
I want it to be what Neville never got to be, is what I'm saying.
And it kind of feels like something like that too. And I think putting a large group behind him and making him be the leader of it is a great way to elevate him in that kind of status for sure. Because it's really difficult for guys like that to succeed without having any support or people behind them, you know?
So let's move on to the next topic, which I'm actually pretty excited to talk about, which is The Fiend, which is Kevin Owens versus – it seems like they're setting up a Kevin Owens versus Fiend feud, which I, wow. You know, I really liked that they planted the seeds that, like, Fiend is interested in Roman, but he doesn't have to go for him right now, you know? Roman's got something else interesting going on, but, like, also, these characters don't need to be – we all have a lot of things going on in our lives. They don't need to be, like, just singularly focused. He's got Roman on the radar. He's still got Paul Heyman there. You know what I mean?
He's not gone anywhere.
And it's exciting because you're like, you know where Roman could go. It's like, you know he has some beef with The Fiend that later on you'll be like, oh, yeah, that'll be satisfying when that actually breaks through. And Fiend can just show up mid-Roman match, you know, lights go out, you know, or if it's Retribution, flicker, little flicky. Retribution's here, flicky.
Return to your seats.
Quick, the switch on the wall beside you. Retribution's here, guys.
Actually, guys, I have a little bit of a sneak peek. I actually have Retribution's new theme song here.
They're here.
Wow, the harmonizing is so beautiful. It's my least favorite part. She's
the last kicker. That gives me douche chills.
I know. Me too.
I feel bad for these guys. I'm sure they're talented. Everyone misfires. You know what I mean? I've told some bad jokes. I'm sure they're talented, guys. Check them out, guys. They're called the fucking Lebowski Brothers on YouTube. I don't know what they're called. All right, listen. Here's the deal, folks. Listen, okay? They're playing. Actually, their next concert's at one of the Steiners Shoney's. all right, listen. Okay, folks, yeah, come on. Can we be serious? Okay. All right.
Stupid.
Okay. All right. Listen. This is the summer of Orton. We're all trying to strike in style. Okay. Here's the deal. Okay. So I like this feud. This feud for the Fiend. The Fiend. I said this here. My thesis for The Fiend is that he makes everybody better. If you're doing something with The Fiend, you're booked with The Fiend, Alexa, he elevates everybody instantly. Strowman got cool. Miz went back to being a heel and then booked into a complete goof zone. you know what I mean? But Daniel Bryan got better. Everybody gets better with The Fiend. Like, if I was working there, I'd be like, can I please, I beg to work The Fiend. That, you know what I mean? Like, Bobby Roode, work The Fiend. Because right then he could lose The Fiend and then
join the Hurt Business.
Like, yeah, like, just wrestling him is an instant reinvention of you, even if you lose. You know, The Fiend, so fucking valuable. Not to mention, Jesus Christ, that on Raw, that, and by the way, I don't give a shit that KO show was on Raw or SmackDown.
No, neither.
I don't care.
It's awesome, actually.
That's why I'm not even talking about the draft, because I don't give a shit about the draft. I don't remember what shows these guys are on. They should float between shows. Who gives a shit? Pretending that, like, I'm a Raw wrestler, I'm a SmackDown wrestler, is just so dumb, unless you're going to make that an actual part of the show.
Aren't we past that now? Like, they've tried and failed to make it work so many times. It's all, and there's like always
15 years.
And they can never, it's like, oh, well, now we have the wild card rule. Like, why even?
Oh, my God. Wild card. Remember the wild? Jesus, the wild card.
And then who's the wild card this week? Or are they just on the show now?
Strowman showed up on Raw because he's fucking Strowman. He knows where the Thunderdome is.
It worked out great,
He knows where the Thunderdome is. It's exactly where it is when SmackDown's happening. It's the same place. Okay?
Friday Night Thunderdome.
He drove all the...
Fuck.
He drove all the way there for Raw Underground because he wanted to beat the shit out of people.
Yeah, and then like Raw Underground's not happening time, which, by the way, I think is really cool. I like that Raw Underground's not every time, you know?
That's because of COVID. They obviously had a COVID outbreak in Raw Underground, like, or a cocaine outbreak, one of the two.
Yeah, or they probably killed it. They're cleaning up a stripper. Whatever. Like, who knows what happens at Raw Underground? You know, because there's a lot of things that Shane want to see, and not very little rules. So. God.
Did you guys hear that Newman is actually in the Raw Underground this week? That's why he really? Can't be here.
Yeah. Oh, he got stuck?
He got stuck there, yeah.
And the Wi-Fi is not great there, right?
Damn.
It's bad. I mean, it's underground. Yeah. It's like the walls are made of lead. It's bad.
And all right. So anyway, but yeah, like the Fiend is great. His Firefly Funhouse on Raw, which I'm by the way, I didn't care was on. It's just like,
oh my God,
I'm watching this guy and I'm like, what is this guy? Is a star. Mm-hmm. This guy should move to Hollywood instantly.
Was he crying?
Imagine the roles you could put. He was crying.
Was he crying?
I don't know. Was he so good? He's so good.
He crying?
He's so honestly, talented.
I was like, he's crying. I think he knows how great this is going to be with him and Kevin Owens. I was so giddy with excitement that they went this route because the guy that we need back is that heel Kevin Owens that absolutely dominate. And the way Sami Zayn is right now and what he's doing, if those two compete for that fucking Intercontinental title and it's that mega heel Kevin Owens versus this new version of Sami Zayn, we're in for a real treat. And we have The Fiend to thank because of it, because that's how good it is, you know?
Yeah, I absolutely. That's the thing about Kevin Owens is Kevin Owens has been lacking for a little bit for me.
Yeah,
I don't understand why Kevin Owens is not. Here's my hot take about Kevin Owens. Another guy, he's got all the tools. I don't understand why he doesn't get tools. In better shape. Like, I'm not saying he's gonna ever be a skinny guy. I don't think he should be a skinny guy. Right. I like that he has like the belly and stuff, but I wish he would get in like a little better shape. You know, like beef up the arms, get his arms, get like, you know, become the Creatine Dream a little bit and get those shoulders bulkier just so he can like look a little more menacing. That being said, minor complaint. I love Kevin Owens. He's so good. He's so valuable.
Amazing. Like,
he's one of these guys. National treasure. Shows, so great. Okay. I do have a complaint about Kevin Owens. That's not about his physique. Okay. Because I complained about the tattoos and then he fixed that. He got the tattoos, you know, so
the
that's
dino tats.
Okay. My complaint with Kevin Owens is a little too much ironic detachment.
Yes.
He has some jokes where you're like, it's a joke that sells out the premise. Yes, the brood, right? It's a joke that sells out wrestling. And I think it's like a little too Young Bucksy or whatever for me. Like, it works for them. And I know too. I said that just to trigger too low, by the way. But like, first, one of his, like, don't talk to Bray Wyatt and say, call him Mr. Rogers. Like, that, don't do that. Don't call out the influence for something. That's like a cheap joke. You know what I mean? That's like, it's like a way to like get a laugh, but at the expense of the scene. You know, in improv, like that would be like a huge no-no. That's like breaking the fourth wall almost. That would be like looking at the audience and being like, and just being like, this guy's a real clown. Like, you know what I mean? You'd be like,
see a fourth wall. Well, I mean, and it's like,
it's not a huge deal. I just want to clarify. Sorry, Aaron. I just want to say, like, it's not. We don't need to follow like hardcore improv rules for hard theater rules for wrestling. Ultimately, it is wrestling, but it is, so it doesn't like kill anything that's going on. But it is a cheap joke at the expense of the feud. You know what I mean?
It's a cheap joke and it's unnecessary because it's like Mr. Rogers, like we know what kids' programs look like.
Yeah, and The Rock did it also. Like, it's sometimes like The Rock did that. The classic example is when he was making fun of Undertaker, and he did that thing where he was just like, "Hey, you come out here and you're like die, die, die." You know what I mean? Right, and you're like, right. "Well, like you're supposed." Okay, so that's okay. You can say those lines, but then you also have to be like horrified of him when he shows up. But ultimately, like the attitude era gave us American Badass. You could see Undertaker say lines like, you know, he's just like, to make that character survive, I had to do that, because during the Attitude Era, it wasn't cool to come out as like a fucking mythological beast or whatever.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I kind of like the way how consistent KO is with it, though. I think it just fits into who he is. And I don't think anybody else can really do it the way he delivers it, though. You know, so when you say it's really funny,
he pulls it off way better than the Young Bucks. I agree.
Pulls it. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, he definitely pulls it off way better than the Young Bucks. And he says it in a way, it's just always ironic because he does it, and then like now he's mocking it, but he's getting his ass kicked because of it. You know, like he got black masked, he got fingers down his throat. You know, like
right.
he got his ass kicked by the Spooky Boys. And
I
guess
agree.
What?
Doesn't ruin it.
You fucking taunted enough. It's eventually gonna end up getting to you. You know?
I agree, but it's a crutch. It's a little bit of a crutch, like because even Aleister Black, he called him like Hot Topic, and like and like it's just a little tired, and it's a little like selling out the other guy's deal, and like I feel like they should be building each other up a little more. And it's and I don't know. It's like not that worth it for me. Like if I was Vince, I would protect my characters more in that way. And I would tell him like, hey, ease up on mentioning, like on selling out costumes and calling out our inspiration for the thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Unless, by the way, if somebody came out like Alexa Bliss and was dressed like. When she was dressed like Buzz Lightyear and it had nothing to do with her gimmick at all, then she deserves to be ripped apart. You're just like, oh my God, who are you going to come out next? Like Mickey Mouse? I'm supposed to be scared of that. That's fine because her gimmick is not I'm Buzz Lightyear. If her gimmick was I landed from space, I used to be Buzz a toy, right? And then you go, what are you, a toy? That's stupid. But if you're supposed to give into that realm, like, you know? So I think KO is getting a little sloppy, to be honest with that, especially considering he doesn't need that kind of shit. He's better than that. He's really talented. And that's also a knock on WB's writing. I bet that's in the fucking script they gave him.
No doubt. You
know? And they should have better writing, more nuanced writing. Because Aleister Black, we don't know what the fuck's going on with him. And Aleister Black could already be a champion. Let's be honest. At least Intercontinental champion, right?
At least.
And so right now what he is he's got an eye patch and we're like, all right, he's just kind of weird and spooky. I mean, he gets over because he's so good. He's in that AJ Styles zone where like no matter what the booking is, it's going to work for him because he's so talented. But like and he does a black mass and I'm instantly like, that's the best move in wrestling. Like that is the coolest move in wrestling and everything works about Aleister Black. But like I could use to Kevin Owens not to say you sat in a black room and then you looked like an idiot and no one knocked at you like calling out that gimmick didn't work. It's like I could use him to be like, I knocked on that door and I'll be honest, I was scared. You know what I mean? I could use like some of that a little bit because these guys are because Aleister Black's not totally working. All right, that's it. I had the most minor complaint, which I texted you guys about Alexa's performance. But ultimately, I'll say this Harley – like, I don't want Kevin Owens being like, you're like Harley Quinn and he's the Joker. Would you want him to say that?
No.
Because it's exactly what they're doing, right?
Yeah.
She's like Alexa – remember? Because, like, he put the fingers in her mouth. Like, he gave her the mandible claw, which, by the way, if you want to talk about how great Fiend is, which he's absorbed from Mick Foley, you know?
Yeah.
Right. Which is my next point I want to make about Aleister Black, but he absorbed it from Foley. He did it to Alexa Bliss, and then same thing as Joker, like and Harley Quinn. Harley Quinn was Joker's therapist, right? Mm-hmm. And then over time, she became a disciple of his. Like she was obsessed with him, right?
Yeah.
So and she was like defined by him. That's what's happened. He put the fingers in the mouth. So the Alexa shit's great, but imagine it goes like, "What are you, Harley Quinn? We're on the verge of Kevin Owens saying that." Would you know?
I hope he doesn't.
Okay. So anyway, it's a little bit of my beef with wrestling, and it's the stuff that stops wrestling from being great, especially when you have like Roman, you see like something that's really working. Okay. Alexa, great job. I loved her performance, except for her the way she said "let me in" was not
let
good.
Him in.
She would let him in. She was just like, let him in. I was like, I wanted her to be like,
she didn't stick the landing on that.
She did not stick the landing, but it was her first time saying it.
Yeah.
It was a little bit corny. Like, she had this great performance going, and then she's just like, let him in.
Yeah. She was like distant, kind of Alexa, like in her little trance state. And then. Again, that just didn't follow for me.
Yeah,
I thought it was cool that she said it, but the delivery was lacking something. It just wasn't 100%.
Right. No, yeah, it's a little too like it didn't match the rest of the performance. But it's so fucking minor, and it's live TV, so whatever. But I just wanted to point it out. But like, Do you remember when somebody, I do my Tales from the Swamp series on the Facebook group, Community Wrestling Facebook, talk about wrestling at 4 a.m. Remember when somebody was like, did they push Alexa too fast?
They pushed her too fast.
Fucking too Mark. Soon. You know how talented, Mark. Like, you know how valuable
I
Alexa
love
is?
Alexa Bliss. Always liked her, even in NXT when she was just like a brat.
Yeah, you see Sasha and Bayley giving it their all to cut a serviceable promo that will pop only too low. And like Alexa just easily is captivating in a moment.
Yeah, totally. Well, she's great to pair with the Fiend for that reason.
I dug out too low there. I'm sorry, too low.
I'm fine with it. I know it's you're not wrong.
Okay, if you're not watching the video, Nick smiled when Dan took that dig at him. So don't worry about it.
You're not wrong. I mean, it's very accurate. At the same time. I just love what Alexa did too. Like I couldn't have picked a better. And first of all, the way she pulls off the Sister Abigail is also amazing. She probably does it better than the Fiend. does he give the mandible claw with both hands? Do we know this? Do we know the answer to this?
Is it the hurt heel or the heel side?
Because I know they really had a shot. Talking about shots, by the way, they're using the drone footage now, and it's fucking sick. But they really had a shot.
I didn't notice.
The Hurt Business got entered in, and all of a sudden, like, the Zoom was like, I'm like, what's going on? I'm like, they're using drones.
Main roster is a blast right now. The Thunderdome quality is so good.
Rocks. Yeah, the Thunderdome rocks. Thunderdome.
Well, you think the Thunderdome rocks? You should check out the Cow Zoom Thunderdome over on the Patreon.
$10 tier on Patreon is going to be hardcore.
You know, I watched all of SmackDown and all of Raw today on DVR, and it was enjoyable to watch on DVR because that's how good the Thunderdome is. It's just a perfect viewing experience for wrestling. I honestly don't think they even need a live crowd anymore. That's how good it is.
For me, the key is the piped in sound. The crowd noises.
They're starting to get creative with it.
Difference, yeah.
They're starting to like do chants. I was hearing the bro chants for Matt fucking Fiddle.
Since he got canceled, you call him Matt Fiddle?
I won't say his
full name. He will not be named.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, all right. Okay. So anyway, the Fiend.
The top.
Great. All right. Let's talk.
What a performance!
I want to talk about Aleister Black with you guys for a second. I mentioned him briefly. There's always this conversation in wrestling about like, yeah, but the kids buy it, right? So we're talking about Roman's vest, and they're like, well, the kids buy Roman's vest, and everyone defended Roman being in trash shape because the kids buy his. Right. And they're like, they buy the wrist guards. They buy the this and that. And you're like, yeah, I get it. John Cena, all right, they buy all that stuff. Okay. So you don't think kids want to see Aleister Black rise from a fucking coffin? You don't think that's like the most marketable kid thing ever? Like that shit is so fucking cool. So so I'm just saying, why is it like sometimes we gotta go like cool guy, and then sometimes it's okay for the kids? Like, you know, like why is it like Aleister Black right now? Like, he had this fucking awesome thing where he literally rose from a grave, came out in like spikes, and was like, Nino, 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 Nino.
Candles, the song, the whole thing.
Yeah, candles. You're like, this is perfect wrestling. It's so fucking fun. Yeah. And then he comes out and he's this awesome, talented, athletic kickboxer. He literally did backflips into a somersault. It was the coolest thing I ever fucking seen. And now he's just going to be like some like mercenary with one eye or whatever. Like, what? Like, I'm saying that's just like, he's, you know, what are they thinking? Like, why doesn't he come out, you know, like say a little satanic or whatever? And then, you know, don't
it's
say
like
any Satan. Get rid of the pentagrams or whatever. You know what I mean?
Keep the pentagrams. It's like the coffin thing. It's like a spooky on a level that's acceptable for children. Like, there's nothing that's like,
he's
cool
a huge star.
Yeah.
He's the next Undertaker. Like, he's pretty fucking big guy, and you make him even bigger with like fire and all this shit. But think about the WrestleMania entrance of a guy like Aleister Black, and like what you could do with all that. Why play him down? why not make him as big as possible and try to sell him? Like, give him a Cena feud or something. Like, you know, I don't understand this logic. Look at all the money they made with Fiend. Have Taker get right. behind him and teach right. him and or whatever. Or, like, I don't know, even maybe give him some face paint even. Why not go further? Mm. Like, I'm not saying I want that per se, but like something.
Sting style.
I'm just saying, why not go more that way with him over less that way? I don't understand, right?
I would I had, for the first time, watching that all go down, that whole sequence on Raw. And the way they talked about it, too, was like, I could see Aleister Black joining with The Fiend now that Alexa's there.
Sure. I mean, he doesn't why need not? To, though. Why can't no, he be his own spooky like, boy?
So it's hard. I think it's harder to get over as a
spooky man.
Spooky man.
Spooky man.
I think he can... I don't know. I don't know what the transition is going from NXT to
How
Raw.
How old is he?
Early 30s, I would think. 31, 32.
I'm only saying this because it's not too late, but it is like these guys
he's
are
35.
Like, he's 35. Keith Lee's a 36-year-old rookie. You know, like, listen, don't get me wrong. That's going to be more of the trajectory. I have no problem with that. These guys come in, they're already veterans. They can already put on matches with the guys like Randy Orton when they come up. You know what I mean? That's what it is. The indie scene's creating big stars and NXT finesses them. WWE has a great system going for them. But I'm saying, like, Aleister Black already should be IC champ at Mania. Like, he can do what they couldn't do with the Demon Finn. So I don't know. I don't know. I feel confused.
I also don't mind giving a little bit more time. I mean, I think you're 100% accurate in why tone it down instead of turning it all the way up. I really hope that, I mean, if they cut his music because of that CFO shit, I mean, they're cutting money, funds in the wrong places. They should have kept that around because that, I mean, it was a WrestleMania moment. We were there. We saw him enter at WrestleMania. He came through the fucking stage. It was awesome. I mean, everybody in the arena was going absolutely berserk for it.
And the song is just part of his identity that we all like.
This song is so fucking good.
I love
it. It's a song that I just like as a song. And you're saying that, and I guess they're gonna go back to it, and they're like, maybe I hope
but so. Like,
and I don't even mind the fucking the roller coaster. Who cares? Like, Undertaker's ridiculous. They need to replace Undertaker. I don't know. I think he's a huge star. Like, he's even pretty decent on the mic, especially if you put him in that Undertaker zone where he doesn't have to say that much.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel really confused by the whole thing of just being like...
I said give it a little more time.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, hopefully they get it right. We got to see Braun Strowman versus Keith Lee this week for a couple of
awesome.
And they just booked it perfectly. It was a count out.
Yeah.
They both slammed through that wall, which was so funny because it was the first time we saw like wrestlers laying in front of virtual people.
Yeah.
Were they like looking down like their screens out?
They were just like, I don't think it doesn't work like you have the view of where you're sitting, right? When you're in the Thunderdome.
I haven't been in the Thunderdome. I have no idea.
I have no interest.
I think about it every time. I'm like, are they watching what we're watching, or are they watching from where their seats are?
I don't know. Does that have any? That doesn't even interest me at all. To do that. But anyway, anyway, that's good. So I'm excited to see where that goes. Whatever. We've talked about that a bunch.
Adam Pearce.
Rollins, here's a small thing. Rollins yelling at Murphy is some of the best shit.
Mm-hmm.
Seth Rollins is so fucking good at being a heel. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
He yelled at Rollins and at Murphy to a point where I was like, oh, he must be a prick in real life. Like that.
Yeah.
We know
every time
he
grabs his beard, I'm like, what an asshole. You know how much that fucking hurts?
And he's like, you owe an apology to me. Like, that was just a great performance. Some of these guys are. We got some great talent going on.
Great
right
guys.
Now.
Really so, great guys.
Yeah. Good guys. Great really guys. Good guys.
Some of
these guys.
Is that a drop we had at Kevin Owens' line? Uh-huh. Where he's like, a great guy.
We're a couple of guys. A couple of really great guys.
Yeah. We're just a couple of guys. Just really great guys.
All right. I'll see if I can find
that. Was that with Elias? Oh, no. Yeah, that was with I think that was when he was in with The Miz and Sami Zayn and all that. There was just a couple guys. There was just a couple really great guys.
That's pretty funny. Anyway, Arturo, I'm going to throw over to you. How are you feeling about – this is your area of expertise. How do you feel about Carmella's repackage?
Oh, I'm all for it. I love it.
Untouchable.
I think
– I'm untouchable unless I don't want to be.
Naughty, sexy. Naughty, naughty, sexy. Naughty. Naughty, naughty, naughty.
Yeah.
I don't understand the fucking – the Polaroid camera or what that has to do with anything. That's just a prop, unnecessary prop in my opinion.
I was confused.
What
by
could
that
possibly,
it's all
what could they possibly be thinking with that?
It was just like, take a picture. Like, cause they were showing little Polaroid snaps, right? I don't know. It was just unnecessary. It was cute. Maybe they have like a low key tie-in deal with Polaroid.
I mean, I think this is a great direction for her. I think when she's a heel and she's firing on all cylinders, she's one of the best on the mic in the women's division, easily. Her run as champion was sick. Her run as Money in the Bank briefcase holder was sick.
She's a great heel.
Yeah.
She's a great heel. This is a good look for her. She can pull it off. Corey's going to be screaming about her every time she comes out.
I'm curious to see what she looks like in ring. Oh, yeah. What's going to be different?
I heard she said she was going to still wear the Jordans, so I would assume that it would. I don't know. I don't know what it's going to look like. I mean, it could be very interesting, but
yeah, that's
unnecessary. I'm pumped for it. I'm pumped for it. I think it's going to be awesome.
Yeah. All right. Cool. You know, Vince is for a long time trying to find someone to just be like, you know, a sexy babe. And he I don't know if maybe he's not getting what he wants from Lana and Mandy Rose in that way. So I feel like he's always trying to do this. But yeah. Here's my question. Did you think, Aaron, did you think she looks good? Like,
no. I didn't think she looked great, to be honest with you.
Yeah, me either.
Something about her makeup made
her, eyebrows.
Made her features look less, because she's pretty. Like, I've seen her like no makeup on Instagram and she always looks good, but they overdid it with like the highlighter or something. She
I think
her best.
Is that part of it? Well, because I wasn't trying to judge her look. I just meant it in the way of like she's woman. And I felt like the way they've done her up, like the hair looked like almost like Donald Trumpy.
Yeah, it was a little overdone.
I think.
Like, from the neck down, she looked great. Like, she's in great shape, obviously. Yeah. But her face was off and her hairstyle just wasn't super flattering.
It wasn't, right? Yeah. So I didn't know if that was part of it. Or was that just like, you can never tell. Is it like, because WB is just like a little off with their production value? Or they just overdid it on purpose?
Did it on purpose? Maybe they did, because like the whole the commercial for her or whatever was all like, it was like very glam. And the WWE Glam Squad does great work. Like, their hair is amazing usually, makeup's amazing usually. But in this like ad for the new Carmella, it just looked like over the top and wasn't very flattering, because she's like,
I think they went more normal. Barbie than like pageant, you know? Like, and I think it's going to transition better to on TV, where the shots are a little bit further away. I think they gave her arena makeup for a backstage vignette with the colors and the lights and everything shining and the glitz and the glamour. It kind of just brought everything forward, you know? Yeah. So I think when it's a little bit further back, I'm excited to see her entrance. I wonder if she'll have similar music or new music or, you know, whatever, but
different music, because it's not gonna say Fabulous, you know.
I'm sure she'll do something. I hope it's badass, like at the draft. I hope they find a unique way to bring a lot of these debuts and repackages to the draft, like, because I'm getting tired of wrestlers going away for like a long period of time, like a Bobby Roode, and then when he comes back, he's just Bobby Roode again. You know, like, give me something different. Like,
I think he's Robert Roode.
Whatever.
Whatever. Because he had RR on his knee pads, and I was like, is Robert Roode? That was never clear why that was different than Bobby Roode, right?
It was just a mustache.
Yeah. Oh, man. Sometimes that being that company is really tough.
Yeah.
They like really throw you under the bus sometimes. All right, cool. We'll see where Carmella goes. I'm a big fan of Carmella, especially.
Yeah, I can't wait.
So I'm hoping they can do something cooler. All right, last thing. Oh, well.
What time is it?
Oh, yeah, you get to go, right?
No, Alexa, what time is it?
You got
1:47.
Time. Oh, wait. No, you have to go.
Yeah, I got to get going.
All right, too low. It's fine. We're almost done here. If you got to bounce, we'll see you. We'll see you. We'll talk for NXT AEW. Tomorrow.
Tomorrow. We'll chat about that.
We'll be talking about that. The Cody Brody Lee dog collar match. That's gonna be interesting. And we'll see if we'll get. And we'll see NXT. We'll see if Finn's okay to go.
Yeah, you know? And where he's got to relinquish the title. That'll be terrible.
We'll see. I hope
awesome. If we just keep getting champions that relinquish titles.
Yeah. All right, sweet. All right, see you, Tula.
All right, hugs. Do I just drop out? What do I do here?
Just drop out. Sign out. You'll be fine. Bye. Yeah. Well, last thing we'll cover. I mean, you're pretty much done, but we're going to get Orton versus Drew in a Hell in a Cell.
That's in the cell?
Yeah, that's in the cell.
All right, I'm ready for that.
Question is, do you think this – it looks like they're extending this Orton-Drew thing. It looks like they're trying to make it longer. You know, they're trying to get a bunch of matches out of it. So do you think there's any chance Orton – wins the title off Drew, or because Drew's already beat him a couple times? Like, I don't know. Do you think that they would give it to Orton?
I don't know. In the last two, I think I bet against Drew. Like, I've been like, Randy. But now I'm starting to flip. Like, now, and I'm questioning if that's right or not, because now I'm like, well, maybe it is time. Like, maybe Drew's just going to hang on to it. But I don't know.
I think they're gonna. Oh, Drew's gonna hold that title until Brock's back. I think they want. They're, you knowing them, they're gonna want that Brock Drew match. They just put out Drew's 24. I feel like they're going all in on Drew.
Right, the 24, which everyone has said to watch. I haven't seen it yet, but yeah, check it out.
I almost have a feeling there's a chance that this Orton Drew Hell in a Cell leads to. From some kind of schmozziness leads to some kind of feud for one of them, another direction for one of them to go in.
I think they need to
and they walk away from it.
Drew feud with someone else. Like there has to be, he's got to move on.
Yeah. He's got to move on. We're moving on. Anyway, everybody, that's everything for this week. Pretty good week in wrestling considering it's kind of just this in-between week for the draft. But there was a lot of good shit that happened. Props to Roman for a great week, and I'm excited to see how long this will go until he ruins it. But hey, everybody, thanks for listening to the podcast. And also, if you head over to patreon.com/comedianswrestling, you get access to all of our bonus episodes. Friday, we'll have our AEW NXT episode. We'll have our Last Cow Movie Club for the time being of the season. That'll be coming out later in the week for the movie. Aaron, what's the movie?
Oh, called? Recoil.
Recoil, starring Stone Cold Steve Austin. Available now on Prime and Tubi. Ooh, both areas. They must have some kind of deal. There's a lot of movies that are on Prime and Tubi, right?
I know. Yeah.
And also, we are announcing our new shift, what formerly known as the Cal Movie Club level, the $10 level of Patreon, will now be turned into the Cal Zoom Thunderdome Club. And once a month, really we'll have weird. A Zoom call where we'll watch some wrestling together, talk, interact. We'll have a good time.
This month, we're doing Hell in a Cell on October 25th.
October 5th.
25th. Who knows what the next one might be. Maybe it'll be a pay-per-view live. Maybe we'll do a different kind of watch party. But it'll be live, interactive with us and you, and it's going to be really fun.
Yeah. So if you're at the Cal Movie Club level and you want to stay at the Cal Zoom level, just – you don't have to do anything. If you're at another lower level, raise it up to the $10 level a month, which is really, I know, I'm not counting your funds, everybody, but ultimately, considering how much time and effort we put into this podcast, not really that much money. And then you can come interact with us. I'm really, really excited about this Cal Zoom. And me and Aaron have a couple ideas that I'm not revealing yet that I think are really fucking fun. So you know us. We're huge marks. We're going to be rocking merch. We're going to be having a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the Cow Zoom Thunderdome. We'll announce it in the Facebook group, too. And also, if you are following this election cycle, you're a news junkie, you want to hear us apply wrestling to the news, check out the Dan Black Attack podcast, which has been taken over by the Regular Guy News. And Aaron is our only RGN correspondent out in the field every week.
Broadcasting from an undisclosed location.
Absolutely. Come check out where Aaron will be broadcasting from. Mm-hmm. I talked to an undecided voter this week. I've talked to some Trump voters. Maybe I'll get a hard Biden person coming in, which would be less interesting. Who knows?
You can have me on.
Yeah, yeah. But we're answering all your – it's not down party lines all the time. Sometimes it's just like the questions we have. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Mm-hmm. But, hey, everybody, that's it for this podcast. And everybody, tell a friend about the show and keep watching wrestling. Kids.
Comedians of wrestling. I listen on Thursday when